line. Hello, fans.
That's good.
I don't have much of an ego. So, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravita Kacharya, Austa Teda, Siddhashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Savaya Channa, Vakivananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijaya, Nandagoti, Vaishnava, Vrindi, Kijaya, Namacharya, Srila Huridas, Thakur, Kijaya, Rem, Se, Gahoshi, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nichananda, Shidwaya, Gadadha, Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Bhagavata Saim Gun Radha Kunda Giri Gaur Vrindam Kijaya Vrinda Vrindam Kijaya Jiranam Kijaya Jigrata Sami Kijaya Yubunamai Kijaya Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijaya Zangveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, yeah, we got Praneshwara watching. And Radhe Radhe, who is here, somewhere in Braj. She's in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. No, she's not with us. I mean, that's it. So, we're going to read the text from the 25th chapter of the 10th canto, since this is the chapter in which Krishna protects the residents of Vrindavan. It's the Govardhan Puja Day. We read the text previously in the 24th chapter, remember? Worshipping Govardhan Hill. So, 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Omagada Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shikadeva Namaha. So, beginning with text 1. Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nandaraj and the other coward men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord." So, what anarthas, this is from yesterday's class, is Indra representing at this point? Two anarthas. What? Pride, yes. Pride in opulence and pride in power. And there's another one, too, is that, of course, previously, referring to the previous chapter, this story represents the futility of worshiping the demigods. There's two types of things to be avoided. So, angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. Indra said, just see how these coward men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they've offended the gods. So what is Indra doing here? He's pointing out the same fault that he has and he's seen in others. That's called Atmavat Manyate Jagat. In other words, he's intoxicated by his prosperity and power, and he's an ordinary, I wouldn't say, yeah, human, like demigod, and thus he's offended the real God. So you can actually take this in a way that he's criticizing himself. So, you know, he's greatly intoxicated, because basically, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? That I see this, the mote in your eye because I have a log in my own eye or something. Jesus. Was that Jesus? Well, great personalities think alike. So, or another saying is that if you point, this is not from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you point one finger at one person, then the other fingers come point back at you. So in other words, you see the faults in other people, the same faults that you have. Otherwise, how could you identify those faults unless you have those same faults? So, anyway, Indra has those faults. Thus taking shelter of Krishna, just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self, instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of furtive ritual sacrifices. So, he's actually talking about himself. He's a foolish, undergoing a foolish attempt, and he's abandoning transcendental knowledge of the self and trying to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of rotive ritual sacrifices to himself. It's interesting how he's actually criticizing himself here. All right? These coward men have acted inimically towards me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child. And that's Indra. Foolish, arrogant, over-talkative, and he's acting like a child. You know, that's like a child. If I don't get what I want, yeah, if you don't worship me, I'm going to tear everything down. Isn't it? The children are like that sometimes? Can I get one of them? It actually, it sounds like a political... I don't get what I want, I'm going to send you a tweet. Isn't it?
Yeah, you actually got the voice too.
It actually does sound like it. I don't get what I want. So, yeah, so he's actually saying that he's foolish, arrogant, and he's an over-talker, like a child. But to the clouds of destruction, King Indra said, the prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction. I will follow you to Braj, riding on my elephant, Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the coward village of Nanda Maharaj. Shukadeva Goswami said, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstorms. What's a hailstorm? A hailstone.
It's like lots of ice falling from the sky.
Right, big pieces of ice.
Yeah.
As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood and high ground could no longer be distinguished from low. The cows and other animals shivering from the excessive rain and wind, and the cowherd men and ladies, pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The cowherd men and women addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. Sri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with terrible winds and hail. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. So demigods, generally they're in goodness, but not purified goodness. Generally. I mean, there's some demigods that are pure. Who can someone come up with some names of demigods that are pure devotees?
Aditi.
Aditi.
Dharmaraj.
Yamaraj.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Brahma.
Lord what?
Brahma.
Lord Brahma, yes.
Narada.
Huh?
Narada.
No.
No.
One such he considered, but he's the sage amongst the demigods.
Ganesh.
Ganesh, yeah. That's very good. Wow. So sometimes the demigods are pure devotees, but generally we consider them to be Sakama devotees. That means they have some desire to fulfill. So sometimes they get affected by other modes of nature. Just like Indra gets very upset when someone is trying to take over his position. Sometimes he sees sages undergoing austerity. And in order to counteract their austerity, what does he do? Does anyone know?
Sends some observers.
He even tried that with Naranarayan rishis. You know the story, kind of? Krishna has an incarnation. Actually, it's Krishna and Arjuna. Naranarayan. And they were meditating. And Indra got really upset thinking that they were going to become so powerful to take over his position. So what did Indra do? He sent some apsaras and also sent springtime. Why did he send springtime? Or Cupid? The springtime is the time for, anyway, things that sannyasi shouldn't talk about. What? Flowers to grow, and everybody walks through the fields, and the peacocks and the peahen. You know what a peacock is?
Yes, and I know what a peahen is, the female one.
That's right. So the peacock grows his feathers out. Why? Because he wants to attract the peahen, right? And he opens his feathers like a radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
when he sees the peahen, isn't it? And he goes, shh. And he does a whole dance.
It's like a radar.
It is. I mean, because I've seen it. When you open it up completely like that, and he just turns it around like a radar screen. So that's why springtime is like the time for people to fall in love. Horrible time. Anyway, so I know, but that part of spring I don't like. And then Indra also sent Cupid. Cupid's called Ananga, means he's invisible. And he has arrows. And you know what his arrows are? They affect the five senses, like the tongue and the eyes, the taste.
Nose, breath, smell, and touch.
Wow, he's good. Okay, so Cupid. And so when Indra sent all those things to try to get Dharanarai and Rishis to fall in love, guess what they did? They yawned.
It was boring.
And they created another beautiful girl for Indra to take back with them, Urvasi. They created a whole bunch, and they said, take one back with you, if you like them. And so, therefore, the demigods, there's a story about Indra getting very worried in the mode of passion that his position would be taken over. Another example is when Maharaj Prithu was getting ready to perform 100 horse sacrifices, because anyone who performs 100 horse sacrifices can become Indra. Would you like to be Indra?
No.
Why not?
He sent a big stone to the place where Krishna was.
That's right.
And Trident. Then Krishna
lifted Govardhan Hill.
Left pinky. Govardhan Hill up as shelter, and all the cowherd boys and the others were trying to help him with sticks.
That's very nice. Yes, because he tried to kill Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan. So Indra, when he saw Prithu Maharaj getting ready to perform 100th horse sacrifice, what did he do? He stole the horses. And then Prithu's son tried to bring back the horses. But every time Indra made himself look like a what?
Sannyasi.
And he made all these different types of sannyasis, like the ones that carry the skulls on the staff, other types that the naked sannyasis, like the Nagababas. So Indra, that's definitely passion. In the mode of goodness, guess what? You're not worried about prestige or position. You understand? Someone says, oh, you're ugly? Okay. Okay. You're a rascal? Okay. I'm a rascal. But in the mode of passion, if someone criticizes you, that's one of the arguments that Krishna used with Arjuna in the Gita, that the one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, right? But for someone in the mode of goodness, pure goodness, if someone dishonors him, just go, oh, Hare Krishna, thank you for purifying me. Unless someone is interested in reputation for preaching Krishna consciousness. But for becoming Krishna conscious, then we can become like Lord Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev took Jata Yoga and he deliberately, you know, went around like an urchin. And people were doing, anyway, so many things in front of him. And that's called Jata Yoga. I'm not saying we should do that. It's not prescribed for us. But still, one in the mode of goodness is not concerned with prestige.
except for service to Krishna, in so far as it relates to service to Krishna. You know, if someone insults you, turn the other cheek. What if someone slaps you, what will you do?
What?
If someone slaps you on the cheek, what will you do? Will you turn the other cheek? No.
I'll go.
You go, Daddy, you save me.
No.
Sorry. So the demigods, generally, they have goodness, but because it's mixed, it's not shuddha sattva, it's not pure goodness, they can, the other modes of nature, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, are, let's say, struggling for supremacy. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the mode of passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion becomes prominent, defeating the mode of goodness and ignorance, etc. So there's no stability. The only stability we have is if one is a pure devotee of Krishna. That's why it says, yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana savarga mas tetra samasute sura harava bhaktasya kato mahadvana no retain asati avato bahi. One who is a devotee of Krishna automatically has all the good qualities of demigods. And one who is not a devotee is like mental, you know, wavering. When we say someone's on the mental platform, what does it mean?
It means their mind
unsteady. Unsteady. They're unsteady. So sometimes they appear very good. And sometimes the motive, passion can affect them. And they snap. Or ignorance can affect them. So anyway, so that's Indra's position. I must therefore, Krishna says, protect the coward community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Having said this, Lord Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up Govardhan Hill as one with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. The Lord then addressed the coward community, O mother, O father, O residents of Braj, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. So in the Ananda Vrindavan Champa, it mentions that Krishna actually created like a whole valley under the hill. They were like, we mentioned this today in our class, there were like rivers and houses, you know, just like a whole community. Here it just mentions that they were staring at Krishna. Actually, one time, Krishna started shaking when he was holding up the hill. Why was that? Does anyone know? Not just because he was looking at the gopis, because Balaram caught him looking at the gopis. He's looking. And then the other residents of Vrindavan, trying to help Krishna, were holding their staffs up too. And there's some story, I think, in the Vedanta Madhava, where Madhava Mangal sort of takes the credit for holding up. He says, you know, why'd you give Krishna that credit? He said, I did it. I just read the Gaurikund story again today in the Vedanta Madhava. It's quite amazing. How Krishna, see if I remember some of the details of that story. So Chandravali was there. You know, she was going to meet with Krishna. She was with Krishna, basically. And then what happened is that Vinda told Karala, who was Chandravali's mother-in-law, that Chandravali was with Krishna. And then somehow or other, actually came and she dragged Chandravali away. And Chandravali and Padma, who was Chandravali's friend, Padma, your daughter, said, I'm going to get even with you. And then she went, Padma, went to Jatila. That's right. She went to Jatila and said that you should go to see Radharani. She didn't say that she was with Krishna. She said you should go to see with Radharani because she's in Gauri Tirtha right now. And Jatila goes to Gauri Tirtha and she sees Radharani's pet deer, Rangini, I believe, along with Krishna's pet peacock. And she thinks, I'm going to catch him. And then she runs and gets her son-in-law, Abhimanyu, who was thinking all along to send his wife to Mathura. Because he, you know, he thinks that Kamsa is going to protect his wife, going to protect his wife from Krishna. Because Kamsa's friend is Govardhan, who is the husband of Chandravali. It's an interesting story. I don't know how much it has to do with the Govardhan Puja. Anyway, I just got started with it. So Jatila comes running with Abhimanyu, you know, I'm going to catch them in the act. Well, she thinks she's just going to see Radharani, but when she sees Krishna's pet peacock, she knows he's there. In the meantime, Krishna has arranged for Radharani to get angry with him because he addresses her as Chandra, and, you know, he's going to say, doesn't say Chandravali, he just says Chandra, and then he stops himself deliberately, and then he has Vrinda's pet monkey, Kakati, sort of make believe that the female monkey, heard certain words, and she repeats certain words to get Radharani even angrier at Krishna. And so then Radharani just like huffs and puffs off and goes to Gaurikund. This is the whole Gaurikund story. It's a nice story. Goes to Gaurikund. And then, but Krishna has planned this all, you know, in his little mind. In his mind, he's actually planned this whole thing because he actually told Vrinda to have Kakati say these things to make Radharani angry. So he wants to see her angry. It's Krishna playing his flute. So Radharani goes to the Gauri Tirtha and Krishna, he asked Vrinda for like makeup and everything like that. And so he puts on his makeup so he's completely like a light color instead of dark color. You know, Gauri. They're going after the monkeys or something like that. So Krishna's completely light color. So his name was Nikunjabali or something like that. Something like that. And Vrinda, and he has a female voice at this particular point. And in the Vidagdha Madhava, Vrinda says, I can't believe his voice sounds just like a girl's. You know, so he's so expert at imitating the voices of not only human beings, but animals and everything like that. So anyway, so he goes in, he's introduced to Radharani, and Radharani's angry with Krishna, but as soon as they embrace, you know, she forgets about the whole thing. And then Jatila and Abhimanyu walk in on this Gauri Tirtha, and Radharani looks up and she sees her husband and mother-in-law. And she thinks, now I've been caught. And she offers, she falls to the ground like a stick in front of Krishna. But Krishna actually looks like a lady. And there's some gopis there who actually tell Jatila that the goddess Gauri came out of the deity. And your daughter-in-law has been fervently praying to the goddess Gauri. And she's been praying to the goddess Gauri for the benefit of Abhimanyu. And so that's what they think. And, you know, eventually, And, you know, Krishna sort of corroborates that as the goddess Gauri. And eventually Radharani comes back to consciousness because she realized now that she's all right and, you know, Krishna's one of Krishna's tricks. And she plays the part and she starts begging the goddess Gauri, who was actually Krishna, please forgive my husband. I'll do anything for my husband. Please forgive him. He's my dearmost. And the goddess Gauri, who was actually Krishna, says, yes. If you always remain in Vrindavan and your husband always trusts you, then I forgive him and he won't be killed by Kamsa the next day. Because the whole idea is that the goddess Gauri said, who was Krishna, that Kamsa was going to kill Abhimanyu the next day because of his distrust of Ramarani, who was a chaste lady. He's offended a chaste lady. Anyway, interesting story. It has nothing to do with the Govardhan pastimes. But I read it today, so it was interesting. Anyway, and so they eventually, Jatila and Abhimanyu, they go away feeling relieved, understanding that Radharani is the most chaste person, and then there's Krishna and Radharani and the Gauri Tirtha enjoying. That's Gauri Kund. In the old days, we used to visit Gauri Kund, remember? But somehow or other, I mean, it's not that far from the Parikrama path. But in the early morning when we go on Parikrama, that's the place where people, let's say, do their bodily functions. So it's not a really good idea to go there in the early morning. Anyway, so let's get back to Govardhan. Let's see. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all consideration of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braj gazed upon him. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished. Pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the coward community as follows. Lord Krishna said, my dear coward men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided. After collecting the respective cows and loading all their paraphernalia into their wagons, the coward men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them. While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of God had put down the hill in its original place, just as it had been before. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they came forward and greeted... Oh boy, the air's getting worse now. Greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationships with him, some embracing him, others bowing down to him, and so forth. The coward women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him. Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings. In the heavens, all, O King, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sajjas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. My dear Parikshit, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, headed by Tumburu, began to sing. Surrounded by his loving coward boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The coward girls returned to their homes singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, who had so deeply touched their hearts. And that's the end of the chapter. So any questions or comments before we end? Kana? Question?
I don't have any.
Questions, comments?
Actually, I got a comment.
Yeah.
So like, when you were talking about the yawn, like before.
The yawn.
Like you said, like you would actually...
Narayan yawning.
Yeah.
Oh, Narayan, yeah.
Yeah. After you said that, I actually yawned.
Really?
Yes.
Yawning is contagious, you know. If I go... See? It's contagious. So the whole point was Narayan, because Narayan creates all the beautiful things of this world. He wouldn't be interested in anything you could offer him. Like, what do you offer someone who has everything?
Nothing.
No, there's one thing he doesn't have.
Oh,
Someone who has everything, but there's one thing he doesn't have.
Blessings.
He doesn't have you, your heart. Because that, you have free will to give.
Wait, then he doesn't have almost 7 billion things because everyone in the world.
Good, good. Very intelligent.
What about all the non-humans? And all the living beings on other planets?
There's a
plus
lot more.
Another 5 billion?
A lot more than that. I think in this room there's probably several quintillions. Quintillion entities, people.
Oh.
Not human beings, but entities, like little buggies and insects.
Oh yeah, probably.
Probably. So, Krishna has everything, but he wants our love voluntarily. That's the one thing we can give to Krishna. But we're not going to attract Krishna by giving him a whole bunch of beautiful girls, are we? Are we going to attract Krishna by giving him money? No.
We can give donations to temples.
Yeah, but is that going to attract Krishna? No. But if the donation is given with what?
Heart.
The heart. Then that attracts Krishna. What does Krishna say in the Gita? Someone can offer me what? A leaf, a fruit, a little water with what? Love and devotion. You know that story I told this morning about Hanuman and the spider?
Oh, yes.
That the spider loved Lord Ram just as much as Hanuman. Mm-hmm. Even though the spider was just like throwing little pieces of dust in the water. And Hanuman was throwing big, big stones. So Krishna actually wants our love. But he wants unalloyed love. What's unalloyed love? That means he wants us to love him just because he's him. Not because he's powerful, not because he can do everything for us. Just like there's one story, I don't remember the author of this story, but there's one story of a prince and he was looking for a wife. But he was thinking someone was going to marry him. This is not like a beauty story, don't worry. He was thinking someone was going to marry him because he was a prince. Like, for example, if Bill Gates came here, he was very rich, and he asked any of you ladies if you would marry him, you'd probably all say yes. Because he's Bill Gates. And you say to your other poor husband.
That's right.
He said, go to hell. Yeah, he said, isn't it? Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates is very, very wealthy. Just like Robin, it's described that he kidnapped so many young girls and he had a curse that he couldn't force himself upon any of those girls, because one time he did with Rambo. And he got cursed by Nala Kuvra. So he couldn't force it, but those girls, as soon as they met him, it was love at first sight. Because they had a gold palace, you know, didn't have to work a day in their lives. So talking about unalloyed love. So this prince, getting back to the story about the prince, this prince thought, I want to marry someone who loves me because of who I am. And so the prince dressed up as a pauper. You know what a pauper is? A pauper means a poor person. He made believe he was just a poor soul. And so he went out, and one of the girls fell in love with him. And he married her. And then he revealed to her afterwards, where's that story from? You heard it before, sir.
No.
I learned it when I was young. It was one of my...
But it's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty common story. My mother told me the story. And... What? Is that 1001 Arabian Nights? Is it one of the stories?
I think there is a story also when you were young, like the prince and the beggar.
Yeah. And so, and the girl married him because she loved him, not because of his money. So we're supposed to love Krishna not because of what he can do for us, not because he's so rich and famous and all that other stuff, but because he's Krishna. Like Prabhupada one time said, you know, well, of course he knows Krishna's God. He said, even if Krishna's not God, we love him. And that's the gopis. The gopis may sometimes become aware that, you know, he's God. But that's not really that important. Just like the story of the Chaturbhuj story. Remember we visited the Chaturbhuj temple? There's a beautiful temple here in Braj called the Chaturbhuj temple. Chaturbhuj means the forearm Lord Vishnu temple. So what happened is that one time, actually we got a picture of the deities through a trick, right? I'm not going to tell the devotees how we trick, because some of the tricksters are here in the room. And so Krishna was hiding from the gopis one time, and he manifested himself as with four arms. And the gopis, they saw Lord Narayan, you know, Vishnu with four arms, and they offered their obeisances because they had culture. They said, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Not really. They said, please accept our obeisances. But Lord Narayan, we have one request for you. And where's Krishna? But then, guess who came around after that? Then Radharani came. And Krishna couldn't keep the extra two arms. They kept disappearing. He wasn't powerful enough to keep his extra two arms because Radharani, by her love, overcame all of his power. So by love, you can conquer God. You can control God by your love. Interesting story, isn't it? Chaturbhuj story. Beautiful deity, isn't it? It's amazing. I haven't been there in years. Yeah, when I was young, Mayapur and I used to have fun by going to different places. And remember that? We get on our bicycles and ride and discover different things in Braj. It was a lot of fun. That's real fun. Didn't I say that when we were on our bicycles and we were going places, I said, this is so much fun. I said, this is unbelievable. It should be illegal to have this much fun. So that's real fun to wander in Braj and actually to see different things in Braj. So anyway, so that's love. Where you worship Krishna, not because he's God and can do things for you and give you money. Like people, they worship Krishna, many people worship Krishna because they want something from him. They have this ceremony called Satyanarayan Katha. And they tell different stories of how this person worshipped Krishna and they got wealth, this person worshipped Krishna and they got a new wife. Or they may tell the story of Sudama Brahma. That's one of their favorite stories. Actually, in our Fiji temple, one of the leaders there insisted on putting a picture of Sudama Brahma there. It wasn't one of my original pictures that I had drawn. Because it says, that'll attract people. Because you simply give Krishna some broken rice and you come back and you find a swimming pool and a Tesla and everything. So people are attracted like that. Is that Satyanarayan Katha? Did you ever hear about that coming? Sometimes. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. That's how they do it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. So we worship Krishna just because we love him. Oh. And that's what Krishna said to the gopis. There's no way I can repay you. Your own love will have to be your repayment. So, of course, we may not be on that platform right now. So it said in the Bhagavatam, Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kamadaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Puram. So, if we're like Dhruva Maharaj, just be honest about it. Okay, any other questions? Mother Urmila? Oh, sorry.
Urmila Devi, don't
I told you you can cry, it's okay.
What?
So I can. I don't care.
You don't care. Be attached.
Totally.
Oh, mother of Champaka. Yeah.
Thank you, Guru. I wanted to ask, like, if someone is hearing Satyanarayan Katha, so Krishna is telling Bhagavad Gita, like, Artha, Artha, Tijika, Jnani, they can, whatever desire you have,
yeah,
to accompany. So what benefit they are getting? And
well, there is benefit. Yeah, there is benefit. That's why the Bhagavatam says, you know, whether you're full of material desires, free of material desires, or desires of liberation, just worship Krishna, to Raina Bhakti Yogena, with great enthusiasm. And so we do have stories like the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But when he got that kingdom, guess what he said, according to the Hari Bhakti Shudaya? I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and now I found a wonderful gem or a diamond. So, you know, we have that example. And, of course, we do have some desire. Otherwise, we already be pure devotees. And Krishna Gita says, the Chaturvidha Vajabdhimam, we come to him because of some desire. We're desiring freedom from distress, or we want some knowledge, or we're inquisitive, or we want knowledge. Not that I said knowledge already. Inquisitive, or we want wealth. You know, we have these four desires. So I think it's good to be honest about these things. And then at the same time, pray to Krishna. I know it's not pure, but one day I pray that I will become pure. I will have a pure desire. So I think it's honesty is really important. Rather than saying to Krishna, you know, I'm such a pure soul, by my mercy, I came to your lotus feet. I was born in the movement because an eternally liberated soul. You're so fortunate to have me. You should count your good fortune, Krishna, because I'm here serving you. I'm man's blessing towards God. I think it's just be honest. You know, I have this, you know, I try myself to be very honest when I'm speaking about Krishna consciousness. Like last night I was talking about a little bit about Maya, and how that Krishna consciousness is moment by moment, or that was two nights ago, a nanosecond by a nanosecond endeavor. Not a dick-a-second, but a nanosecond endeavor. And I gave the example, remember I gave the example, I said that of my watching the Star Wars movie? So it's important not to portray yourself to others or to yourself as something that you're not. You know, sometimes in the position of guru, you know, people say, oh, you're a Paramahansa. And I'm thinking, tell me all about it. Of course, you know, even if someone is a Paramahansa, they won't think that they're a Paramahansa. You know, Paramahamsa sees everybody serving Krishna. You know, if I had any love for Krishna, how could I live? That even Lord Chaitanya said that. So there has to be but we have to have a lot of humility. Just be honest. You know, Krishna never condemns someone for honesty. You know, Krishna, I'm a materialistic rascal, please take this sinner weeping. You know, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not a materialistic rascal, but in his poem Gopinath, he shows us how to pray to the Supreme Personality of Gopinath, a personality of Godhead. Mamanavedan and Shuno, I'm devoid of all good qualities. Vishaya Durjana, I'm a materialistic Durjana, bad person. So, I mean, it can't be artificial, you know, just like, if you feel yourself a good person, don't say, I'm just a bad person. You really have to feel like that. And how do you feel like that? I mean, this it's interesting. Well, I don't know, because I've never felt like that. But anyway, how do you feel like that? You feel like that by serving the Vaishnavas and appreciating their good qualities. When you appreciate others' good qualities, that really helps you become humbled. I mean, just like today, we were talking for a few minutes to this nice Brajabasi who rented his place to Praneshra for our preaching center here. And I was just like glorifying him, not artificially, but actually thinking how fortunate you are being born in Braj, you know, many generations and everything like that. And I said, you know, please, can you give me, he asked me for blessings and I asked him for blessings. But I honestly felt like that, appreciating him. And even when Mayapur the other day brought his workers, I was appreciating their status as Brajavasis, isn't it? And I was feeling, and I mentioned this a number of times over the last few days, that I was feeling really bad that they're not allowed to go to the temples, isn't it? It's just like, here are the greatest devotees of the Lord, you know, because I, naturally, I might be inclined to be thinking, you know, Prabhupada's, you know, like Prabhupada's disciple. You know, like Superman, you know, Superman, like, opens up his shirt, you know, that big S there, so I'll open up mine's a big P there, you know. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. It was sannyasi. And you're just some paupers here, you know. So naturally, there may be some, I don't have that inclination. I may have to be honest, I don't have that inclination to do that. But I've seen that with Western people sometimes, or, you know, devotees. But these are just like great souls here. Lord Chaitanya told Jagannanda Pandit to spend like very short time in Braj, because they're not on the same level as you, because you can be in trouble. And because he did have a temper, he almost beat Sanatana Goswami with a pot. You know, because he thought Sanatana Goswami had accepted a remnant, or he found out Sanatana Goswami had accepted a remnant from Mukunda Saraswati. Supposed to do on the watch. So anyway, I mean, so Trinadapi Sunichena Karodi Vasahishana. So if we begin to appreciate others like that, and then I'm always connected now, like my watch, my glasses, you know. Smart glasses. The only thing that's not smart is the brain anymore. So, if we appreciate others' good qualities and glorify it, just really from our heart, see like that, then that'll help us develop some humility. Okay, time to go. I have people who are trying to call me, my fans.